Hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
The Winter Olympics officially opened Friday in Pyeongchang, South Korea, and for the first time, Nigeria will be represented. Four Nigerian athletes, all women, will compete in two events, skeleton and bobsled. For our Voice of America listeners in Nigeria and elsewhere in Africa who might be unfamiliar with these cold weather sports, let me try to explain them to you. Skeleton is a sliding sport in which one athlete rides a small sled in a timed run down a frozen track while lying face down. 36-year-old Simidele Adeagbo, who was born in Toronto, Canada, will represent Nigeria in this Olympic event. In the bobsled, Nigeria will be represented by Seyun Adigun, Akwoma Omeoga, and Ngozi Onwumere. In bobsled, teams make time runs down narrow, twisting, banked, and icy tracks in a gravity-powered sled. The 31-year-old Adigun is the driver and leader of Nigeria's Olympic women's bobsled team. Like all four of Nigeria's Winter Olympians, she previously competed in athletics. Adegun raced for Nigeria at the 2012 Olympic Games in London in the women's 100 meters hurdles. Her dream of competing at a Winter Olympics began about 4 years ago at a garage in Texas where she attended the University of Houston. Adegun put together a sled of wood and scraps and later recruited Omeoga and Onwumere as brake women to share her Winter Olympic dream. At a reception in Lagos before leaving for Pyeongchang, Adegun said she's thrilled to be part of Nigeria's first Winter Olympics.
Representing Nigeria and Africa, it's an honor. It's so humbling, and it's such an inspiration to know that we can be able to do just a small selfless act to help bring so many people into an inspiration.
I'm guessing Seyun Adigun has been inspired by another Olympian, her uncle, Hakeem the Dream Olajuwon, who also attended the University of Houston. Born in Lagos, Hakeem the Dream gets my vote as the greatest basketball player ever from Africa. Olajuwon became a U.S. citizen in 1993 and won an Olympic gold medal with the USA team at the 1996 Olympics in Atlanta. This Olympic adventure by the four Nigerian women has been heavily publicized on social media. And according to Akwoma Omeoga, they have a lot of supporters.
The reaction has been amazing. A lot of people have been, you know, talking and sharing the information, sharing the news as they have been supporting us since day one. We have a lot more support now, so very happy.
Meanwhile, it looks like Akwoma Omeoga and the other Winter Olympians will be dealing with bitterly cold, freezing temperatures in Pyeongchang. Reports from South Korea say this could be one of the coldest Winter Olympics in decades. Kyung Tae Lim is a tourist from Seoul.
It's not usually this cold, this area, this season, but very cold. I can't even think of the words. I think my brain's frozen or so. I'm a little bit worried about Olympic players. So many of the players are from not so cold countries. So I don't think they will perform very well, and I also worry about the tourists.
Olympic mogul skier Brad Wilson of the USA says he isn't worried about competing in the cold temperatures.
I'm not, like my body's not, but as far as the conditions go, absolutely. I mean, that's what we're in winter sports for a reason, and when it's cold like this, it's good. It's a good thing, yeah. As long as we can stay warm.
Another Olympic mogul skier from the United States is Jalen Koff.
We haven't had to deal with a ton of cold this year. It's been pretty warm. It just means pack more layers, but the warm-up, maybe do a little extra warm-up at the top of the course, but that's about it.
And here's your weather report from Pyeongchang. As of 11 p.m. local time on Tuesday, it was 7 degrees Fahrenheit, minus 14 degrees Celsius, and the skies were clear. Big coats, gloves, and good shoes are a must to face the cold, which feels even more freezing because of strong winds. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. More Olympic news. International Olympic Committee President Thomas Bach has warned boxing could be knocked out of the next Summer Olympics in Tokyo in 2020 because of problems with the sport's finances and governance. Speaking in Pyeongchang ahead of the Winter Olympics, Bach said the IOC is extremely worried about how the sport is run by AIBA, the International Boxing Association.
First, that the IOC Executive Board is not satisfied with the report prepared by AIBA on its governance, finance, refereeing, and anti-doping issues. Therefore, the EB maintains its decision of 6th of December 2017. The IOC EB confirms the opening of an investigation into the governance of AIBA by the IOC Chief Ethics and Compliance Officer. The IOC suspends any financial payments to AIBA, including directly boxing-related payments scheduled by Olympic Solidarity. Fourth, the IOC EB is freezing all contacts with AIBA, except the ones on the working level, which are necessary to implement the respective IOC decisions. Fifth, the IOC EB requires a further report by AIBA by 30th of April 2018. Sixth, the IOC EB reiterates that the IOC decisions regarding the event and athlete quota for the Olympic Games Tokyo 2020 are final. And last, but really not least, the IOC reserves the right to review the inclusion of boxing on the program of the Youth Olympic Games Buenos Aires 2018 and the Olympic Games Tokyo 2020.
International Olympic Committee President Thomas Bach speaking in Pyeongchang, South Korea. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Just ahead, VOA's Adam Phillips with a feature on the flying disc frisbee. So please, keep on the sunny side.
Oh, keep on the sunny side. Always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help you every day. It will brighten all the way. If you keep on the sunny side of life. Oh, keep on the sunny side. Always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help you every day. It will brighten all the way.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossing. I feature music and interviews with your favorite artists from all around the world, and you can not only listen, but you can interact live with us here in Washington, D.C. Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT on VOA.
Thanks, Larry. And keep crossing those musical borders. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. 3 years ago, the International Olympic Committee officially recognized ultimate frisbee as an Olympic sport. It gives the World Flying Disc Federation an opportunity to receive IOC funding and possible inclusion in future Olympic Games. In New York City, there's an active frisbee culture. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, let's listen in again to this feature by VOA's Adam Phillips in New York.
It's a flying saucer that you command. Watch.
This is the way to curve a frisbee.
This is the way to curve a frisbee.
Catch a frisbee.
That's a TV commercial from the early 1960s when frisbees were relative newcomers and Americans were fascinated by flying saucers and all things space. At 74, Jerry Linus remembers those days well.
When I arrived in New York in 1965, it was popular but only as a toy for children or as a device for the long-haired people, the counterculture. And I found myself magnetized, attracted to a group in Central Park who were addicted to the pleasure of just throwing and flowing. When you throw the thing, you feel like you're flying. It kind of carries you with it, like a spaceship or a flying saucer. I'm in love with these things.
Linus's apartment is crammed with vintage discs, frisbee competition posters, and other memorabilia, and his own clay sculptures of frisbee players. For Linus, flying discs are all about joy, passion, artfulness, and fun.
One of the things I find most amusing is the old saying that when a ball sleeps, it dreams it's a disc. Balls just go up and down, but discs not only can fly, but they can do unusual things like fly in a curve or fly under the boughs of a tree.
Frisbees, or discs, I'm using the terms interchangeably, have inspired hugely popular team sports.
The two most popular internationally are disc golf, which is like ball golf, except that you throw the disc into baskets. And the other is a team sport called ultimate, which is very much like soccer or football.
Thousands of American high schools and universities have ultimate leagues, and the game is poised to become an Olympic sport. Let's listen in on a goal made during a recent professional match between the New York Empire and Philadelphia Phoenix teams.
Hell yeah, Ian Garin! Yeah.
Jerry Linus prefers one of the many two, three, or four-player games he invented himself over the decades.
One is called Splitzo, where you throw two discs. The smaller one is inside of the larger one, and you throw them at your opponent, and they split up at the last moment, and your opponent is required to catch one in each hand. And I do something called skyscraping, where I go down to the Wall Street area, and I play to an unseen partner who's a block and a half away, and the object of the game is to touch as many buildings in one throw as possible. Three buildings is hard, but I've done it.
Today, freestyle is a highly inventive part of disc culture that combines performance with athleticism. Usually done solo or in pairs, freestylers give the disc a strong spin, then keep it spinning through all kinds of graceful, often acrobatic maneuvers. Brad Keller is a world-class freestyler and co-director of the 2016 Freestyle Frisbee World Championships, which will be held this year in Brooklyn, New York. Keller has been part of the freestyle scene in Central Park, Sheep Meadow, the birthplace of the art form, since the 1970s.
We're judged by three judges in each of three categories, which are execution, presentation, and difficulty. We throw the disc back and forth, and we spin it on our fingertips, similarly to what people do with a basketball. We use the rim to do different kinds of pullouts and pushes. We do tips. We work with it right side up or upside down. We can airbrush it where we side slap the disc into the wind, and it moves forward, and then the wind pushes it back, where we can then either slap it again or brush it, as we call it. Or we could roll it across our chest or across our back. So there are all these different types of manipulations we do that incorporate the disc into, in essence, a dance performance.
So that was a move where I threw it up vertically with a lot of spin, and I took it in what's called a rim delay, where the Frisbee is actually sort of parallel to me.
In addition to being a full-time law student, James Wiseman is a two-time world Frisbee freestyle champion. He is often seen practicing for hours in Sheep Meadow, which is still ground zero for disc arts and athletics in the Big Apple.
There's always new things to do and new things to try and new things to experiment with. That's something that's really special because it never gets old, and there's always something on the horizon that you're trying to figure out.
So it's a character builder too, huh?
Oh, definitely. I mean, you know, freestyle teaches me a lot about patience and determination and different ways of thinking. And, you know, it's sort of like a drug because it doesn't always happen, and you're always chasing the harder version of the same move, the harder combo, just more and more and more. You know, it has so much to offer.
Serendipity is a key part of what disc play has to offer. One basic maneuver that makes today's freestyle possible is called the nail delay. It involves balancing the spinning disc on one's fingernail as it descends in order to control its position. It was discovered, quite by accident, by legendary freestyle pioneer Kerry Colmar one sunny morning in 1974.
The wind blew up under the disc, and when I went to tap it, it just came to rest on my finger for probably no more than a second or a second and a half. Doing a nail delay takes a pretty good deal of practice, but eventually I got it down pat. And the effect that it had on the game of Frisbee, or the sport of Frisbee, is that it changed the entire realm of possibilities from, you know, two people playing and it just being a throw-catch to being a lot more aesthetically pleasing to the eye. And, you know, it definitely changed the sport for the better. And I can't claim some huge credit. I mean, it was really just sort of magical gifting that made me be the guy that came up with that.
Kerry went on to become one of the first world Frisbee freestyle champions. 40-plus years later, that honor has been won twice by the dancer and actor Daniel O'Neill. His work was also showcased by Cirque du Soleil at the opening of the 2015 Pan American Games, heard here. Together with Brad Keller, O'Neill co-directs the 2016 Frisbee World Championships. He contrasts New York freestyle with a West Coast approach, especially California's.
The New York style emphasizes consecutivity and flow. In New York, we like to put moves together in a way that there's no disruptions, awkward movements. You catch it, and maybe without even having to change the grip of the disc in your hand, you're able to throw it onto your partner. And it all happens in one fluid motion.
Smooth, elegant.
Exactly.
New York.
Yes. Now, the West Coast has very beautiful beaches. And freestyle frisbee is a great beach sport because if you have a little bit of wind, the disc will float there for you. It'll just stay put. Everything slows down. It's a little bit of a slower game. It also emphasizes flow, but it also emphasizes flight of the disc. And that is to say, brushing it, rolling it, you know, moving out into the wind.
Underneath all the competition and display, there is a spirit of inclusivity, friendliness, and fun in Frisbee culture everywhere in the world. Brad Keller says it's rooted both in the hippie ethos that flowered during the 1960s and in the physical way that high-level frisbee is played, where subtlety and finesse are as important as force. Worldwide, freestylers call themselves jamily. It's a term borrowed from jazz jams where musicians play together. each expressing themselves, but in happy harmony with the others.
And we all know each other. There are different internet sort of interactions that we do, different blogs, different things that we all keep in touch with, social events, birthdays or births, whatever it is, but we're pretty close. So I can go almost anywhere in the world, and I have a Jamily there, and it's an incredible community that we're all really grateful to be a part of.
Countercultural Masons or something.
It is very similar to that in a way. I mean, of course, we don't have quite the history, but give us another couple thousand years, I guess, we'll be there.
Frisbee's the game of keep away.
For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is VOA's Adam Phillips reporting in New York.
Frisbee's the way to lots of fun, and the park or beach or day.
Thanks, Adam. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In African boxing, Ghana's Maxwell Awuku will challenge WBC super featherweight champion Miguel Burkelt of Mexico on Saturday. Our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moueta, describes this as a mission impossible fight for Awuku, a southpaw who was called in as a late replacement. The fight will take place at the Oasis Arena in Burkelt's hometown of Cancun, Mexico. So I'm sure the champion will have the crowd on his side. Burkelt has a professional record of 32 wins and one loss with 28 knockouts. Awuku has 44 victories, three defeats, and one draw with 30 knockouts. Undefeated and currently retired boxing star Floyd Mayweather was one of the celebrities who attended Super Bowl 52 on Sunday night in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And Floyd looked pretty flashy. He wore a grayish-white fur coat to the big game, as well as a red and black hat. And if you go to the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page, you'll see a photo of a smiling Floyd Mayweather sporting a super smile at the Super Bowl. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. The Philadelphia Eagles defeated the defending champion New England Patriots 41-33 in Minneapolis to capture their first Super Bowl title. I got a Facebook message from Mo Chroma. And Mo writes from Monrovia, Liberia. Mo says, congratulations to the Philadelphia Eagles for winning their first ever Super Bowl. In Mo's words, there is no other feeling that is more exciting than the first time. Thanks for writing, Mo Chroma. I got another Facebook message from Leonard Anachi, an accountant in Asaba, Delta State, Nigeria. Leonard says he sends his regards to Kim Lewis, the co-host of our Africa News Tonight radio program, as well as other staff here at our Voice of America headquarters in Washington, D.C. Thanks for writing, Leonard. Turning to tennis, top-ranked Rafael Nadal says he's on track to returning to the ATP Tour at the end of this month in Mexico. The top-ranked Nadal says he's recovering well from the left leg muscle injury that forced him to retire in the Australian Open quarterfinals last month. Rafa was in the fifth set against eventual finalist Marin Cilic when he suffered that injury. Rafa says he's been undergoing intensive treatment to make sure he's able to play in the Mexico event, which starts on February 26th. Finally, in pro basketball, I'm proud to report that one of the hottest teams in the NBA right now is none other than my favorite team, the Washington Wizards. The Wizards broke out their wands in Indianapolis, and they defeated the host Indiana Pacers 111-102 for their fifth win in a row. The Utah Jazz won their sixth game in a row. They defeated the New Orleans Pelicans 133-109. But for now, I'm going to say go Wizards, go Wizards. The Wizards will be back on the court later tonight when they play Joel Embiid from Cameroon and the Philadelphia 76ers in Philadelphia. And that wraps up the February 6th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer John Dryden. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
President Joseph Kabila of the Democratic Republic of the Congo, or DRC, has served the two terms permitted under the country's constitution. It is someone else's turn to seek office. A crisis ensued when Kabila failed to organize timely elections and stepped down. Following negotiations, Kabila's ruling party and the opposition coalition signed the Saint Sylvester Accord. President Kabila agreed not to seek a third term or change the constitution. He would remain in office until the installation of his successor, following elections which would be held by the end of December 2017. But there were no elections in the DRC last year, nor will any be held until December 2018 at the earliest. And now President Kabila's party is talking about changing the constitution to allow him to run for another term. The president's refusal to step down and the political machinations that have delayed elections over and over again have caused a political crisis, heightened insecurity, and triggered a series of street protests in which scores of people have been killed. On December 31st, the Catholic Lay Coordinating Committee organized peaceful demonstrations where security forces used excessive force against unarmed participants. Another peaceful protest was scheduled for Sunday, January 21st. Authorities prepared for the demonstration by preemptively shutting down internet and SMS services and forbade gatherings of more than five people. When the peaceful protest nonetheless took place, they shot tear gas and live ammunition into the crowd, killing at least seven people, injuring nearly another hundred, and arresting dozens. We condemn in the strongest terms the violence perpetuated by the DRC security forces on January 21st against church-led peaceful protests, said State Department spokesperson Heather Nauert in a written statement. We are appalled that the DRC government, including President Kabila, would employ repressive tactics and disproportionate use of lethal force against civilians, including religious leaders and children, exercising their democratic rights to call for credible and inclusive elections, she said. The use of lethal force against Congolese citizens and the cutting of internet and SMS services undermine the democratic process, obstruct implementation of the Saint Sylvester Accord, and contravene international human rights norms. We call on President Kabila to hold accountable security force members who fired on civilians or ordered the use of lethal force, and urge him and his government to ensure a peaceful and open electoral process so that credible elections are held as scheduled in December 2018.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Mudu, host of Health Chat. February 6 is the International Day of Zero Tolerance for Female Genital Mutilation. This Tuesday, February 6, on Health Chat, we will discuss the controversial practice with our guest, Lucinda Clark, author of the suspenseful literary fiction, Amy Cut for Life. For your questions, email us at healthchat@voanews.com. You can also reach us by phone to leave a message or to participate in the program. We will call you back. Dial the international code for the United States, then dial 202-205-9942. The U.S. country code is 1. Dial 45 after you hear the station ID. For listeners to call during the show, our telephone number is 202-691-3111. Health Chat this Tuesday at 17:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, political tensions simmer in Kenya as opposition leader Raila Odinga takes a symbolic presidential oath of office as the people's president, despite warnings from the nation's attorney general, who called the mock swearing-in of Odinga an act of treason. An in-depth look at Kenya's political future on the next Straight Talk Africa at 18:30 UTC.